We're giving you more than just the 411. This is the Harrisburg 412 podcast. Coming to you from Southern Sioux Falls and Harrisburg, South Dakota. Welcome to Harrisburg 412, the podcast. My name is Joanne Vermullen, Communications Director for the Harrisburg School District, and we're joined today by Mr. Tim Graff. Welcome to the show, Mr. Graff.
Thank you.
Today we're focusing on growth in the southern half of our district, specifically Harrisburg proper, which includes Liberty Elementary and Freedom Elementary. To give everyone some background, if you've lived in or around the city of Harrisburg for any length of time, you've seen farm fields transform into foundations in every direction. If you aren't one of the 558 residents who were here in 1980, or a descendant of them, driving past the many subdivisions in our community may not give you pause. But some of those residents may have walked beans where your house now stands, or they could drive 55 miles an hour all the way to 57th Street without having to stop. So, Mr. Graff, can you expand on our boundaries within the district? Because I think a lot of people don't realize how far and wide they actually reach.
Sure. I think one of the interesting things is that we extend actually to the west of I-29, Interstate I-29. Part of our district, we go all the way down to 57th Street in Sioux Falls, and then another good chunk of our district on the northern border is actually at 69th Street in Sioux Falls, depending upon where you're at. We actually extend further to the north on 57th as you go further to the east in the district. Then we go really almost to the Iowa border and in spots within the district and south to 276th Street for the most part. So we have over 70 square miles, but I think the interesting part is that we've grown by 629% since 2001, and we continue to experience just the same trajectory of growth, which has been really incredible. And I don't think both as a community of Harrisburg and within the school district, I don't think there's anything close to that within the state of South Dakota as far as the amount of growth that we've had. And that's driven largely by, obviously, the Sioux Falls metro area, of which still two-thirds of our residents come from the city of Sioux Falls zip code.
So for people who haven't lived here for a long time, I'm just going to give you some quick background as to how we got from that one building that housed all the students in 70 square miles to now 14 buildings. In 2002, a new high school opened on South Cliff Avenue to accommodate growth in the district. The school board quickly realized a new elementary school would also need to be built, and while Explorer Elementary's location in the northwest corner of the district may have seemed like an odd choice at the time, it quickly became surrounded by houses, apartments, etc., opening in 2005. The continued development of neighborhoods resulted in an expansion of the new high school to include 8th grade as well, because they no longer fit all at the original K-12 building. And Journey Elementary was also constructed around that time to accommodate growth in the northern part of our district, opening in 2008. In 2009, Harrisburg High School at its present location opened with 425 students. In comparison, we currently have about 1,600 students. The previous high school transitioned to Harrisburg Middle School. And since that time, two additional expansions at the high school have been constructed to accommodate increasingly larger class sizes coming up through the ranks, as well as an alternative school. Between 2011 and 2020, four additional elementary schools have been built. In 2013, North Middle School opened, and Harrisburg Middle School became South Middle School. Both the East Middle School and the Freshman Academy are currently under construction, and both are expected to open in the fall of 2023. Mr. Graff, since you started in 2019, how many buildings have you seen go up in the district?
Well, I think last year we opened Adventure Elementary. Was the first year that Adventure was in existence. And then not a new building, but a large addition to the building, our current freshman academy at Harrisburg High School, which houses about up to 450 kids. And now we're, when I hear you say we opened the current high school at a little over 400 kids, now this year we're going to be more in that 1,650 student enrollment range and continuing to grow. And that's, we knew we were at capacity, and that's what led to the current plan of opening the new freshman academy that will eventually be added on to and become a second 912 campus at some point in the future. But I think that the board's commitment has always been to keep a levy that is level across the district for the taxpayer, and to not build more than what we need until we get to that point. And so that's a challenge in that you always need to stay proactive, but still be cost effective in what you're doing and not build too much too soon, or else you can't keep that level mill levy. And so I think that's one of the things I've admired about when I look back over the history of the last 20 years, of, and you look at the growth at how Harrisburg has managed that and been able to keep that level levy. We hope to continue that into the foreseeable future and have through the last couple of building projects. And so we're currently have the two under construction that you say, and we just recently completed two, and this is my fourth year in the district. So kind of incredible when you look at the amount of change, and it doesn't look like there's any slowing down anytime soon.
And this, would you say, is a pretty unique situation for a superintendent to be building a building maybe every other year, or two buildings at the same time? This is not what happens in your average school district.
No, without question. And I've been fortunate to be a part of districts where we've done building projects, but that was always one building project in the districts I was at previously. And so very unique. And I know Mr. Holbeck probably did 7 or 8 building projects during his tenure here. And so that it is very unique, but our district's very unique.
Yes. And I feel like we're getting really good at building buildings at this point.
When you bring that up, one of the things that we've looked at and continues to be true is we build at a cost per square foot that is significantly less than what other districts do. I think we found a blueprint that we were able to do it in a cost-effective manner. We continue to use that model, and we'll continue to use that model into the foreseeable future and need to get good at that, because we do need to build and want to recognize the support that the taxpayers have given us and their willingness to continue to give entrust those decisions to the district to continue to build to be able to accommodate the growth. And so we appreciate that. And I think we owe that to the taxpayer to make sure that we're as cost effective as possible.
So this plan is a little bit of a unique situation, just because we are working with an existing building, which was our original K-12 building, a historical building. But we have growth around this area that we need to address.
Well, as you mentioned, Liberty Elementary was the original K-12 building. And because of that, it's been several additions to it. And it's a bit of a maze itself. And it's also the oldest building. But it's a building that we can't take out of the use. And we have to continue to use it for education purposes. We can't keep the commitment that the board has made for many years and decommission it, so to speak. We have to continue to use it, because to build two buildings would be really not feasible and cost prohibitive. And so we're at capacity right now. We're over 560 students that are enrolled at Liberty. It was expanded with, I think, 8 different additions over the years, but the classrooms at Liberty are 720 square feet, most of them. There's some of the newer ones that are larger, but many of them are that 720 square feet. So they really don't lend themselves very well for education today as we know it. Almost all the other classrooms in the districts are 900 square feet or larger. That's a 25% larger than what the older ones at Liberty is. The school designs that we use now have common area learning breakout spaces because kids are more involved than they ever used to be, and they're more collaborative approach than what we ever had when I was going to school, certainly. And so the smaller classrooms there do accommodate early childhood education well, and smaller bodies, smaller class sizes in our primary grades. And so part of what we're proposing is a plan that eliminates some of the inequities in the district, but also keeps the use, the history, tradition that we've had at Liberty in that building throughout the entire history of the school district. So we currently have four subdivisions in the Freedom Elementary Zone that are underway and currently in progress, three subdivisions and developments that are being built in the Liberty Zone. And when you're already at capacity, it really puts a lot of stress on that building. And so we do need to have plans. Doing nothing is something that's really not an option for us. And so we have been proactive the last couple of years. We moved Head Start from Liberty to Freedom to make additional space. We also moved the Tiger Reserve program to Adventure last year when Adventure was open to create additional space. And yet again, we're expecting to use all the rooms except possibly one this coming year at Liberty. And we know that we also moved junior kindergarten along with other programs out of there. And so there's really not much else we can do short of looking at the next building project.
So what can be done to maximize the use of our current facilities and also ensure the right size is built at the right time without having to raise taxes?
Well, the proposal that we've kind of put out to the public and are trying to seek as much input as possible and from not only the parents of Liberty students, but also from community and district residents, is we have held two public meetings already in August, and we will also be having a meeting this coming Tuesday, August 16th, 6:30 p.m. in the band room at Liberty. Anyone that's interested in attending that, we'd encourage your attendance. That is going to be, you can find the band room on entrance E on the east side of Liberty. We're going to talk about the proposal in depth, but really what's being proposed is to a joint use facility with the school and the city. And then also that would be entail building a new building also on the west side of South Cliff on the southern end of Harrisburg.
So we'd be building a new building for Liberty students, and which grades exactly would be housed in that building?
The new school would house either first grade through fifth grade or second grade through fifth grade, while the current Liberty building would be converted to an early childhood center with pre-kindergarten, Head Start, junior kindergarten, and kindergarten, and then possibly first grade. When I say possibly first grade, it really will depend upon how much growth we've experienced in the next year. If we open the new building in grades 1 through 5, it's very likely that at some point that first grade would have to come back to Liberty because the new building will also run out of space at some point, because we would open that with a fairly large number moving those grades over there. We would not change the school boundaries of Liberty to do that. And that's always one of the toughest things. And what parents and families and kids object to the most is they want to stay in the schools they're at. And so this would have the least amount of upheaval. And then making these changes would also give Freedom some more space as well, because we could then bring Head Start back over to Liberty as well as junior kindergarten classes and give us more room for growth there. With the additional developments going up in Freedom, as you know, that is really a necessity as well.
And as we do with all projects, because we have to always keep in mind the future around here, this new building would be built to be expanded. Is that correct?
Yeah, it would actually be designed as a potential future K-5 building, even though we'd open it as a 1-5 or 2-5. One of the things that uniques to school buildings is a lot of times people will say, well, why don't you just build them bigger? Why don't you build a bigger elementary? Well, for one, we like elementaries to be more of a a size that you can accommodate and build a sense of belonging within that elementary school. But you also have a limited number of sections that you can use those common area spaces in. For example, the gymnasium is used pretty much throughout the day, and you can only schedule so many classes within a gymnasium. Same thing with your library, same thing with your computer spaces or your lunchroom, for example. And so to go beyond a certain number, it really makes both staffing and those common area spaces very difficult to be able to make work, or you'd have to build a second common space or a second lunchroom or gymnasium or whatever that case may be. And so we do look at that. We are looking at this as being either a 1-5 or 2-5 that could easily be designed for future K-5 use as well, because we don't know beyond the next 6, 8, 10 years what the use of Liberty will be. Certainly, it'll be used as a school and community facility, but just what would be housed there as far as educationally is kind of hard to know.
So why does this plan work, Mr. Graff? Because obviously, not having to redraw boundaries is a huge plus for this plan. What else about this plan makes this make sense for our district?
I think it addresses several needs that both the district has and the city of Harrisburg has. The city of Harrisburg has obviously would like more space as well. As they continue to grow, they need additional spaces. There's community related agencies that could use additional space. There's also in the district, we're well beyond the amount of space that we use in the central office area. And so the district needs more space. So converting a wing of Liberty Elementary to be used for district office space, also allowing the city to be able to come in. We've already got a partnership in place with the city, with the use of the library. They frequently use the community room as well, allowing them to use some of these spaces. And these are already secured areas and spaces where the public comes into on a daily basis. Currently, there'd be no change there. There'd be no access to the rest of the building, but the areas that they're already able to, the public is already able to access, they would continue to be able to access. And so it really checks several of the boxes. And then during non-school hours, the city would also be able to, city residents could use for walking, could use for community education, could use for community theater. There's just a number of opportunities that would be available for the city and city residents to be able to use as well.
So what is the advantage of having our first or second grade through fifth grade at the new building and then holding early childhood programming at our existing building?
Along with keeping the same boundaries and keeping the peers together within that Liberty zone. The other advantage is your upper elementary grades would also benefit from the larger classrooms and being able to do that. And then you'd still have a similar number of sections as if you built another K-5, but if you just build another K-5, you haven't addressed the district needs as far as additional office space, you haven't addressed the city's needs, and at the same time, you've kept all the Liberty students in a building that has inequitable classroom size, and programming is more difficult. So those are really the main things. It's not feasible to go out and build two new K-5s at the same time. So those are certainly, you could build a new K-5, but those are some of the downfalls if we were to follow that plan instead.
And I suppose housing early childhood programming at Liberty Elementary would then free up room at Freedom Elementary, which is currently nearing capacity.
Correct.
So if I have children at both the current Liberty building in an early childhood class and I have a fourth grader at the new building, how would pick up and drop off work for parents who have children in two locations?
I think that's one of the concerns that we've talked about the most is I think certainly what we'd want to do and should be able to do is to have a shuttle go between the two buildings at the beginning or end of the school day so parents are not expected to drop off kids in that live in the Liberty Zone are not expected to drop off at both locations, because that would just add to the traffic congestion. And I think we can shuttle where families that do have kids at both levels would be able to shuttle between the two buildings.
So why wouldn't we just tear down this old building and put two new ones up?
I think the biggest thing is just it's not economically or logistically feasible. I think the other piece of that is that just the, and you look at the historical piece of Liberty, when it was a K-12 facility, it's still structurally sound. It has a lot of value left to the district, and just trying to be good stewards with taxpayers' money really is not an option to just eliminate the building.
I also personally feel like it would definitely not be in the spirit of preserving what is really the heart and soul of what has made Harrisburg what it is today.
Correct.
This plan would allow us to build without raising taxes. Is that true?
Well, that's been the commitment that the school board for the last 20 years has made, is there to keep a level levy. And this plan continues that. It's due to the extreme growth that we see in the district, which has obviously generated the additional students that we continue to see. But it also generates a large increase in valuation. And that is what drives the ability to continue to fund these projects, and also what's driving the need for them. So,
what are some other advantages you see in this plan, Mr. Graff, that our listeners should know about?
I think there's some neat opportunities that this is not part of the immediate plan, and actually the whole timeline takes about 3 years to complete everything is what the whole plan would take as far as the time frame. But there are other advantages. The all of the administrative staff could then be housed together. We got people kind of scattered around the district right now. We also have people in outbuildings in the Liberty parking lot in some modulars. Those modulars are located in an area along Willow Street that we know that there's a lot of developer interest in developing Willow Street and along Willow. The district could certainly entertain options at that point to sell those buildings along Willow and use for retail and commercial spaces. As the city continues to grow, we know that the downtown revitalization and what the looks of that is going to be quite different 10 and 20 years out than what it is today.
So with the possible sale of land to kind of reinvigorate Harrisburg's downtown, what other advantages would there be for the city of Harrisburg and its residents?
I think this plan is really a unique joint-use facility, collaborative effort that is an opportunity for both entities to address their needs. There's been pressure on both entities with growing pains, and so the city, I know, is interested in increasing programming and recreational opportunities, and during non-school hours, being able to have access to the Liberty building for residents to be able to walk or do the different activities that the city wants to offer is a big benefit. And while they need to also address the infrastructures within the city, not having to outlay additional capital dollars to build a recreational center, a community center, those types of spaces really gives an opportunity for both entities to just be cost effective and maximize use of public facilities.
If the bond issue were to move forward, then, Mr. Graff, what would the bond cover exactly?
Well, the bond issue would cover the cost of a new building, and with the way the inflation and the cost of building have gone up, that would be substantially more than what the last building would be. At the same time, we think that the estimates that we've gotten from the architect and looking at where we're at, we think there's also room to be able to consider renovating the kitchen area at South, which has been a real issue for us in the cafetorium there. Some remodeling with that is a possibility, depending upon where bids were to come in at. And then also, we've not been able to provide a track. I think we had 140 middle school track athletes this past year, and not having a track itself is, again, an inequitable situation when North Middle School's had one, as well as the high school is got heavy use already. So being able to provide that would be a goal as well. It, I guess, remains to be seen until you actually get bids in, but that's not a major cost to add a track itself. At the same time, it's definitely a need with the numbers of participants that we've had.
So for this plan to move forward, Mr. Graff, what sorts of things would have to be put into motion?
Well, what's been discussed is really an aggressive timeline. And in order to open this new building within 2 years, we really would have to have a voter approval this fall. It's not the only plan that it could be considered, but at the same time, to follow this, we would need to open by 2024. We'd have to have a bond issue this fall. The city and the school would have to, we've already had some preliminary discussions about what a long-term lease between the school and city that would help to fund some of the renovations that would be necessary on the north end of Liberty for the district to take over. And that would need to be accomplished. And then, of course, the voters would have to approve the bond issue. And if that happened, then the time frame would be that we would go into design phase right away later this fall and through the winter, with construction to start next spring. It takes about 18 months to complete a building, with the goal then of opening in 24-25 school year for the new school on South Cliff for current Liberty students. Beyond that, we would use that 24-25 school year to then renovate the north wing at Liberty for the district office space. And then 3 years out in 25, in the summer of 25, the city could then take over some of the use of Liberty and some of the office areas that which are currently used by district staff. And then the district could then move into the north wing, and that would complete a 3-year process of what this plan entails.
This really does sound like a win-win for both the city of Harrisburg and the school district.
I think both entities gain cost efficiencies out of this plan, and some of those are some of the same taxpayers. And then we also want to make sure it's a win-win for both entities, because so many of our residents also come from the 108 zip code, and we want to make sure that we're cost-effective for all residents of the Harrisburg School District.
And I know the district also has a desire to start some community programming, which all of our patrons would benefit from when the time comes. That would be something that all of our district residents would be able to participate in.
Correct. And that's one thing we really have as a goal this year, is to kick off some community ed classes. And I know the city has a similar goal, so we have to talk about what that looks like, if we're joining forces on that, or if the district's ready to roll with that. But that is certainly a goal, is to at least begin that process and then grow it in future years.
Well, it just sounds like there's never a dull moment here in the Harrisburg School District. Thank you to Mr. Graff for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.